Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
And we start this half hour with Mark Newman, candidate for Congress in Western Wisconsin. Next week on the show, Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance, Angela Lang from BLOC, and State Representative Evan Goyke. And also surely much to say about Election Day, the primary Election Day next Tuesday as we lead up to it. And certainly a lot of talk afterwards about the results. And one of those primary participants is with us now, and we continue our conversation with Mark Newman about the run for Congress. And let me pick up on healthcare. Is the next topic that we're going to take. You've obviously referenced it early on. We know it's a priority of yours. We've led into it with each of the previous candidate visits. Through the repeal of Roe v. Wade and abortion and reproductive health care, and whether you believe that this was, in fact, I don't like to say game changer because this isn't a game, but I mean it is a difference maker potentially. What have you heard from potential voters about the significance of that and how it is tied to people's overall need for accessible and private health care?
So did you want to comment on the reversal of Roe versus Wade, or
yes.
Was that it? Oh,
yep.
Okay. Well, I think that abortion care is part of a comprehensive obstetrics care. And I say that from a professional perspective. It's just standard of care. And people who are learning how to become obstetricians to help with deliveries and help with care of women who carry pregnancies, that's part of their training, part of their whole expertise. And so for us as Americans to deny people the opportunity to receive comprehensive care by itself already poses for me a huge problem. Now, what we've done is we've turned this into sort of a political anguish, unfortunately. And the way I like to approach that is to recognize that there are two things that we all have that no one can take away from us. Now, we might lose friends, we might lose a spouse, we might lose our wealth, we might lose a lot of things, but there's two things that we can't lose, and that's our bodies and our identities. And these cannot be violated. We have supremacy over those two things. And with our identity, it's how we discover ourselves to be, our sexual orientation, our gender identity. This belongs to every individual. It's a discovery through life. And to have somebody impose upon that person and say, it's not like that. You have to be something else. That is an assault on a human being. When it comes to our bodies, the same thing. If someone attacks us, tries to injure us, tries to diminish our experience of living flesh and blood on planet Earth, that's an assault. It is defended against by our legal system, except unfortunately when it comes to our care for ourselves, if we happen to be carrying a pregnancy. When I was a practicing physician, the final arbiter, the final decision maker of anything I did was the informed consent of my patient. My patient had autonomy. My patient had supremacy over his or her physical well-being. And our decision of treatment, our intervention, depended upon that decision, not upon a third party, not upon somebody else imposing. And if that imposition was brought in, that could be easily identified as an assault. If I started treating somebody against what they wished the treatment to be, I was liable for injury of that person. So
I think, did you think as well then, looking at the results from Kansas, it's not that people were so much commenting on whether they supported or were opposed to abortions per se, but it was, a lot of Kansans saying, you don't get to be the boss of me that way with my body.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. And I hope that that's the truth, that we can defend our neighbors' opportunity to maintain that supremacy over their own physical well-being, and that they can make those decisions for themselves. you may not agree with somebody else's decision. That's very easy to imagine, but it does not give us a right to interfere with a person's decision to care for themselves. And as I said, abortion care is not extraordinary. It is worldwide standard of care for people who help women with pregnancies, often known as the obstetricians or nurse assistants.
Somewhat related to that is the public health scourge of gun violence. And as you know, recently, the person representing that district right now, Congressman Ron Kind, did not support an assault weapons ban. One of the candidates opposing you in the primary, Brad Paff, has indicated that he would like to see other measures taken instead. But what are your thoughts on what else Congress should be doing, and what will you push for in terms of ending this phenomenon seen nowhere else on earth when it comes to gun violence?
I certainly was happy to see that that legislation was able to pass the House. It's probably going to have trouble in the Senate, as we all expect. And we oftentimes talk about these are common sense interventions. You know, it makes sense, if we have a dangerous weapon, to limit its presence in our community. But what is common sense is not always the most effective. And so that's where I add to this notion of doing these things like an assault weapons ban and the high capacity magazine, which is what that bill did, ban, along with the red flag laws, along with broad universal background checks, even licensing of each gun. These all are common sense to me. They make good sense. But I'd like to carry it further and actually do a much more concentrated investigation into what does this health risk really mean to have 45,000 people in our country dying each year from gun injury, gun-related injury. Half of those folks are taking their own lives. But we need to make an intervention and say, do we really understand what's going on here? And then what can we do to make it's less likely that so many people are going to die and so many people are going to be injured. We've done that with all kinds of health risks in our history. Just take the example of the presence of automobiles. We're not going to get rid of our automobiles, but we have certainly made a lot of changes over the last 50 years in how we use them and how our roads are constructed and how we instruct young people to be able to get behind the wheel. And we can do that those same kinds of interventions by with regard to the presence of our guns. Unfortunately, we have so many guns because they have been promoted by, I think, an immoral advertising program of the manufacturers over the last 20 years. And that might be another place, is to intervene and say, just like we did with cigarette advertising, you can't advertise like that and convince people that in order to become a man, you have to have an AR-15.
I've wondered if we need to go in that direction, if we will go in that direction. And unfortunately, it seems like, if anything, the way our politics are looking on one side of the aisle right now is that they may get rid of the ban on cigarette advertising and say, well, it's all free market. Let's turn our attention next to foreign affairs. As we've said previously, a member of Congress thinks most frequently about their home district, but as a member of Congress, you have to keep your eye on the ball in many different places, whether it's China or Ukraine or trade with allies and adversaries alike. Rather than my giving you a pop quiz on each one of these things, I'd like to know what you emphasize and what kinds of feedback you're getting from people when it comes to the foreign affairs that a member of Congress needs to be mindful of.
I'm glad you're not giving me the pop quiz, Pat. One of the problems that we have as citizens is to have really good information about the realities of our foreign affairs policies. And it comes to us through the media. And unfortunately, the media has its desires to sell its product. But and that's where I'm sort of hedging and saying, as an elected, you get a deeper and more reliable source of understanding of what our foreign policy is in order to be the representative of the people of your district. And when it comes to what should be the direction of our interventions internationally, I reach back to the origin of our American tradition, the original documents and thoughts that led to our revolution with England. And what was it? Freedom and fairness. That is, those are the deeply held American values that have been carried generation to generation, and we tried to implement them in our policy. We failed a lot, but we keep coming back to them. And so when it comes to freedom and fairness or equality, that should be our driving orientation for our interaction with other nations. And whenever our foreign policy is felt and interpreted and experienced as an oppression by another country, then we are violating that basic American principle of respecting freedom. So the opposite of freedom is oppression, when we're not allowing another country to really live their full, their national experience, because we have a desire to whatever, get resources, oil or whatever, that we now impose a policy on another country, disrespecting that country's need to experience the same kind of freedom that we desire for ourselves.
As we've done with everybody, our last couple of minutes will be spent on how some of those issues now are back here at home, where we are looking at oppression, voter suppression, but democracy itself that is under attack by people who are lying about the integrity of our elections. And that will include the presumptive nominee, Derek Van Orden, again, who was on the Capitol grounds January 6th. Should you win the primary on Tuesday, you're going to be on a debate stage with him. What is it that you're going to say to him and to voters about you versus him as the congressional representative in charge of, pledging an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the United States?
I am a member of the Common Council in La Crosse, and so I get to meet and talk with and admire the work of our city clerk. And she is representative of clerks in counties and cities, municipalities, all the way up to the state level, who actually run our election process. And I think when I see their devotion and honesty and concern to do a good job, it is a huge insult to even suggest that they are somehow being corrupted or not being faithful to their desire to have a free and fair election. And this is primary to us as Americans, that we conserve, preserve, and help all of us to be able to vote when the time comes. Louis Brandeis, a justice in the 1930s, said, "The most important office, the highest office of a democracy, is that of the private citizen." And so it's imperative that our government and that our structure of society recognize that the private citizen, all of us as individuals, our right to vote, our right to have a voice in our election of representatives is, it's just ultimately the highest thing that the government has to preserve, and to make it easy for us to get to be able to use that voice and to have it counted.
There's only so many bold predictions that somebody can make in politics, but one of mine is that after this primary with four candidates, it will not be difficult for the Democratic Party in Western Wisconsin to come together and try to hold on to the third congressional district in this particular general election campaign. Dr. Mark Newman, candidate for Congress in the Democratic primary next Tuesday for the third congressional district. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much, and look forward to visiting again soon.
Thank you so much, and thanks to all of your audience.
All right. Have a great day. If you want to follow the show on social media, you just have to look for Up North News by searching for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you're listening to the show and you want to catch us online, go to the Facebook page for our Wausau radio station. It's called Bull Falls Radio, because Bull Falls was the historical name of the place. I grew up in St. Paul. That was going to be called Pig's Eye. So sometimes we're happy for name changes. So I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll have more to wrap up this hour coming up next. You're Up North.